Maduka, Maduka, please, please dodge the ball so you won't hurt your head. Ah, God, God will punish Nigerian women. So today is Strictly Music, yeah. We are here, I'm here to talk about industry plans today in Nigerian music. Just, yeah, I'm here with Akip from Lemon Sounds, Dolapo from We Talk Sounds, and Emmanuel. So yeah, let's get right into it because today's one is really, really, really long. Okay, good day, guys. Welcome to Quality Content with Kusman. How are you now? You guys introduce yourself.
Good day, good day.
You're all right, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. Like this year is... So my name is Brian McKeeb, and I'm like the head of music in terms of Lemon Venue. And we are like a playlist, podcast, PR, marketing agency or something, yeah. So that's me. We Talk Sound.
Yo. Yeah, my name is Dolapo, founder of We Talk Sound.
OG.
I mean, where do I start from? We do a bunch of stuff, but it's largely focused on supporting emerging creatives in Nigeria. And we also have a creative agency. We work with bigger artists, more established artists, basically.
Oh, soft. Iman, it's your turn. I know,
yes,
say you do video. Is it reaction videos or?
Yeah.
I watched one time like that.
Mad. Yeah, man. My name is Emmanuel Bahamian Papi on YouTube. I do a bunch of reactions, reviews for Afropop, Afrobeats music generally. I also host a weekly Twitter space, Afrobeats to the World, where we just banter about Afrobeats pretty much. So yeah, man. Happen.
Okay, so today on Quality Content, I'm just here to discuss the term industry plant. And I just reviewed the last year music, like the whole of 2021 music. I'm just going to talk about some things there. Yeah. So first, going with industry plans. Do you have any specific, or what do you think, or what do you feel? What is industry plans? Do you have any definition for industry plans? Like, we are talking about the music industry, so in Nigeria, so.
Dak, where do you want to go?
From a like fundamental point of view, industry plans are basically. I mean, because like someone can come down and say, "Oh, my own definition is." So I'm just trying to give like the baseline definition of what an industry plans is. An industry plans is basically someone who acts like a solid or a strong backing or support when they actually do. So basically the goal here would be to get favor from fans, to, you know, basically appear like they need help, they need support. Also to appear like things are just working out for them organically. They are not putting in that much effort, trying hard. Things are just aligning for them. But the truth would be that in the background, they are probably connected with a major label, a big distro, a big support system, or someone who is really backing them with a lot of money and connects. But they don't show that side to the public. What they show to the public is just the single independent artist hustling to make ends meet. So that's the that's what an industry plant is, as far as I know.
Okay, so you're saying that what they are showing us is not what is really happening. That there's a lot of background work going on for the ones that...
Yeah, precisely.
Yeah.
Emmanuel, exactly. Do you have any...
Exactly what that means. It came from hip-hop. It's like, it's usually like the hip-hop guys, when they see, when they derive the term industry fans, it's exactly what Dolapo described. Somebody that comes on the scene to feel as if, like, he is organically building up steam and building up reputation. Meanwhile, there's a huge back end, I don't know, puppeteer or someone basically like operating and making moves for that person to appear.
Like Godfather.
Yeah. So I appear as if the person is doing everything all by himself or an independent artist type of thing. So yeah, that's pretty much what an industry plant is.
Oh, okay. All right then. So I was going to ask, like, what's the success? I don't know how many industry plants we've had, but what's the success rate of industry plants?
In Nigeria, or like...
In Nigeria, yeah.
I mean, I think the precursor to that question would be, who are some industry plants? First of all,
yeah, let's agree. Yeah, who is the industry plant?
Before we not talk about success.
Okay, should we go? Okay, we should go to the industry plants that we know.
Or that we
suspect. Or that we suspect. Yo, I think Hakeem dropped, right?
He's coming back.
Oh, okay, still... okay.
Yeah, so you're saying we should talk about the ones that we know. So, okay, yeah. Dolapo, hit me first.
I mean, like, to be fair, like, there was a point where I felt like on my leave was an industry plant. Yeah.
That was the name that came to my mind immediately as we were talking about this.
I swear, I hope
Omale doesn't come up.
I didn't even reason it at all until you just said it now. Because when he just dropped, he was like this normal upcoming guy from nowhere. If you see the streams, that's the first part I didn't even believe, sir. That first EP that he dropped.
Did he have a label
before? I think for me it was like even before I listened to his music at all, I just kept seeing Omale everywhere on my CL.
Right,
I just kept seeing Omale. I had no idea who Omale was. I just kept seeing all the music business execs, all the influencers, everybody just kept saying, this is Omale guy, music is so mad, it's so mad. Like, I saw that for weeks, and I was like, okay, let me listen. And I heard it, I was like, oh, the music is actually good, for real. But I think that there was this thing where initially they presented, like, Omale was just a boy from Port Harcourt that...
Yes.
And it's super talented. And we didn't even know who his label was for the longest. Like, we didn't know who was behind
KeyCard was like what? No one had heard about KeyCard before.
KeyCard, what? Who is KeyCard?
KeyCard was the like.
That's the name.
That's the label on. I think at least his first EP.
I don't know KeyCard.
yeah. No one knew that label before, man. It was like so random.
my brother was like, see this guy from Port Harcourt, see his EP, let me check. That's how I knew all of Omale, because I don't know how he's just sprung out from me. What I didn't even guess about it until now. That makes a lot of sense. Dolapo, you still have another person?
Yeah, I think one is five. Let him
industry plants. To be honest, like, I've not known that many, like,
in Nigeria, I don't know really a thing like that.
Exactly.
It's not really a thing. Just look back at this last year. He's there. Somebody was there last year.
Okay, Kusman, okay, wait. I think I know where you're going with it. So, do you see people that are signed to labels that completely upfront, they activate the artist to say, this is our new signee, we're activating this person right now. This person has been in an academy with us for 18 months, maybe 16 months plus, and we've prepared this artist for everything, media trained, recorded 100, 200 songs, you're coming out, you're revealing the artist to the world now. Do you see that person as an industry plant?
At that point, I can't say. But if you look at the doings after that announcement, you know, everything about this industry planting is placement,
right,
and connections. You are seeing that Rema, into his 2 years into his career, is already performing at NBA. There's a kind of things that you know that there's some underground doings. So back to what we're talking about.
Okay, so see, that's where I would like. That's what I would disagree with. Like, that definition of industry plants, I think that one, like, it's not no one's hiding anything that they're doing. Like, I think it's very clear. They're not trying to position that, oh, Rema is one boy that organically started making streams and started making all these connects across the world, publications and international publications and all those things all by his own doings. Like, I don't think that they've never positioned it like that. Same thing for almost every Maven superstar or recent star that has come out of their academy. I think that's where I see artist development as an actual label structure, as opposed to just tagging the person at industry plants, because industry plants has to come into deceit, bro. You have to be deceiving me. You understand? Like, you have to be lying to me to say that, okay, that this person has to be doing something in the back end, because all this doesn't make sense. Like, who's linking this person with this person? Like, how is all this happening? Then that's when, if there are too many questions that are coming up in my head, then maybe yes, there's industry plans. But with cases like Rema, cases like Ruga or Ira Star, like, it's very clear the structure that their team has, at least. Like, so for them.
Okay, I want to say two things. One would be that I think I should remember, I should remind you guys of this Sally, Salle, the babe that was talking.
Yep.
Sally, where? Which babe?
I remember the story too. And there's another one too. Heiser too.
Which Sally is that? I swear, I don't know.
Okay, how. This was a viral. Yeah. This was a viral clip.
I don't know if you remember now.
It
was talking. All the people talking about things. And then, but apparently, like, the babe was not poor or anything, because I heard from people supposedly knew the babe before that. She was actually, like, not the hawker. Like, that was all scripted. The whole, like, hawking and stuff. And, like, she grew such a, like, a following on social media rules so far after the hawking. And she dropped a couple of songs. But I don't think the songs did as well as she thought the songs would have done. But that was like a very weird, in our face example of trying to trick us.
She got on channels, everyone was broadcasting the story. I think it even got to as far as, like, I don't know, maybe CNN or BBC or something around there. Like, it was a come up story, right? It was like, it was supposed to trigger our emotions and be like, oh wow, it's nice to see a hawker that has this amazing talent. And I remember the Sally story, man, but I don't even know where she is now.
But she was all up in our faces. So you see what I was saying about success rates of the industry?
Oh, okay, yes. Okay, yeah. Sally is a good example. Sally is a good example because there were a lot of questions behind all of that. A lot of questions, unanswered questions.
Yeah. And that caused like a lot of controversy as well. Like, people, there were lots of conversations, even like publicly and like low-key within groups, like within music industry groups. People were just like, who is this babe? She just came out of nowhere. They said, oh, she was hawking, and they found her and they spoke with her, and she was super talented, blah blah blah. And then she was on all the music platforms. She was on all the music platforms, she was everywhere. Next day, she released a song. Yeah. But so, yeah, I think that's an example of an industry.
Yes.
But I don't think that worked out so well.
Yeah. But, no, there was another case of, like, I don't know how this is happening. But, Dolakwa, you might have much more insights on that, because I remember when this was happening. This was Heiser, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you say Heiser is an industry plan?
No, I'm not saying he is, but like this was another like scenario where I was like, how is Drake following you immediately? Wow. Yeah, like,
yeah.
How is Drake amping you up? Like, going from the streets to like Drake retweeting and posting you, like, that was like, okay, what's happening? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, as far as I know, and I have some background info on that, that was actually what it was. Like, that was organic. I don't think it's that easy. Like, no matter how backed you are, there are people that have actual label, like, you know, major, even major label support that Drake hasn't noticed.
Yeah.
Like, what are the odds that it was from a label or anything? I think that was just organic. We could see the numbers grow on Twitter, yeah. The video that was posted about it, and how like the video just got everywhere. So
yeah,
I'll say that one was organic.
Okay. But you can definitely see how he raises eyebrows, right?
Yeah, I do. Like if I didn't know like as much as like I do about the case, if it was random, I would probably have been like, maybe there's more to it. But also when you look at the game, it's like, you know, if the doings were that heavy that they knew Drake, I think he would be in a better place now. Like if they knew Drake, like if they really knew, if they were powerful enough to go and tell Drake about him and tell Drake to RT or to comment on him before he even came out, I think that we would have seen the signs of that power now. But like he ended up signing to Warner for like an EP deal, of which he has dropped one single.
Oh shit, we lost the Lakmo. That Heisa story was cool. Like I don't think I've even heard his new song.
So I even thought we're talking about the girl. When you guys said
that. No. Okay, Heisa is H Y Z A H. If you remember, there was one guy that got posted by Drake.
This okay, like, okay, yes. Yeah, that was in Nigeria, rapping.
Yeah. He has like Fuji influence, sounds like Bella Shmurda or like Shady Vibes, kind of.
Ah, finally.
You're back. Akib.
Yeah. Okay, Akib is back. Blackwell is back.
So we're asking questions about who you suspect is an industry plant. Who do you suspect is an industry plant for the past year or 2 years in our industry?
For me, I'll say Fave. I don't know.
Huh? Are you serious?
Yes, now, like, we also have a growth from Twitter and, you know, like, a lot of... Wait, relax. I don't know if you guys are agreeing with me.
No, we're not fighting you. Everybody wants to talk
about you. Yeah.
But Fave, I don't know what about Fave.
I think that like,
you, to me about Fave has been very organic.
Like that's it's pretty clear like where the powers and things are.
Yeah.
Yes. So I wouldn't say it's an industry plant situation.
Yeah. Or,
like the deal was announced and it's public.
Yeah, it's so very public.
Say, oh yeah, Empower like, behind this. Like
even before the deal was made, this girl has been pressing, I've been singing. Pressing piano on Twitter before the pandemic or something. Yes, now.
yeah. So she had like multiple viral moments before Baby Rhythm.
Yeah. On Twitter.
Yeah.
I keep just dropped the bomb and left.
I said that because I wanted to explain.
But yeah, I was actually shocked. I was expecting him to say Aria Star. That's the name I've been waiting to hear since. He said now.
I don't think Aria Star is an industry plant. I don't see how.
It's so far from it.
And the big label is global things. Like,
that bloody Samaritan was all up in our faces, man.
Okay, we need to separate this thing, though.
It was too aggressive, bro.
Yeah, Kusma, we need to separate these two things.
But you know, it was too aggressive. That bloody
Samaritan. No, but that's. We just say Coca-Cola has been aggressive with the advertisements of their product.
Oh no, I won't. But I know what I'm saying about this bloody Samaritan shop.
No, but that's again with a label with a heavy bag. That's bound to happen. Like if they actually believe in the song and they believe the song can take the artist somewhere. Of course, like they put all their weight on that song and then. Obviously, you saw the doings of that song afterwards. Like it was all worth it. And again, industry. I think the disconnect now is probably people thinking industry plant is if you are a signed artist with a label structure, then you're an industry plant. That's what people think sometimes that industry plant is. But I think it has to come with the seeds, bro. It has to be like. Under the table doings, like somebody's working behind the scenes, like that it's not public, that people are still asking questions. Where is this coming from? Where is that coming from? I think that's what industry plants really is. You get
it. So can you guys hear me? Mr. Fave,
yeah.
Yeah, so I want to understand what you guys mean by industry plan before I jump in, please. What
okay.
You guys
mean by that?
Because
it was that Hakim that was asking, or who was that?
Yeah, yeah, I'm the one asking.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're just saying, like, industry plans has to come with like deceits, basically. You have to be like, you have to appear as if you are doing organic doings, organic boost and of your reputation and publicity. But behind the scenes, there's somebody obviously putting weight behind it, like promotions, there's an angel investor that nobody knows, and people are sending you to PR positioning. And we've given examples like that kind of make it seem as if like, oh, this person came out of nowhere, person was on the streets, was just hawking and they found a camera, and next thing you know, this person, oh wow, she's talented. Yeah, like
now
that's,
I get it.
Yeah, that's industry plants.
But that's like, not Fable. Fable.
Okay. Oh yeah, wait, Akib, before you talk, tell us why you chose Fable in the first place.
Oh just no, why I chose Fable in the first place was because you guys picked Omalay, yeah, and before Omalay drops his single, I could see like a couple of videos about him. Me personally, yeah. But I didn't like really know that it was going to blow like that. So I saw a couple of I won't say it's like PR thing. He had this purple thing that people were doing for him to showcase that okay, there's like a new song or a new sound coming out. And I could see a lot of people that were on Twitter talking about Omalay before he dropped his song. That was in 2020. So it was not like really much of like a planned stuff for me. And when we heard the song, everybody found it like appealing. Everybody liked the song. Or like when that is like just the same thing for me. Like when Faith came up, she started with videos on Twitter and everybody could see her talent. I know her personally. I've seen her, I heard her perform and she's amazing. So I felt like maybe it was like a collective. I thought you guys meant industry plan is like a collective stuff of like probably A&R, PRs, and stuff like that coming to. That's what I thought. But based on what you guys just asked now, I think there's one babe that I don't know.
Because one only babe, you was the suspect.
Yeah, so why the suspect the babe? Because the girl noticed I'd be like that. And so people were kissing her. And ooh, I see Kuzma too, they push the babe.
Which babe is that? Okay, I think you know they're talking about Sukomi.
God bless you. I swear that morning I woke up. No, it's calm, Sha, she's trying. But I woke up and I saw that Kuzma.
The posters.
This guy after laughing and saying she knows Sabi.
Leave her more.
No, leave her more.
I swear. It's good to actually do PR because it's pushing your music out there and that will help in your streams and everything. But it didn't like really cut it for me when it comes to her because I saw a lot of people posting and I even saw a billboard she did on Lekki Expressway and I'm like, come on, you don't need to pay that much for like not a quality sound. That's not quality. She should up her game, dig it. If you are trying to come into the Nigerian industry, for instance. You just don't come with basic. You give us what we want. And she didn't really give me, to be honest. And yeah. So
wait,
I think she's an
artist
fan.
Again. Who is this artist?
What's her name?
Sukomi. She came, she was I think she was popping back then she took a break for like I think she left for like 3 years, then she came back now.
That's an artist name, Sukomi.
That's Is it bad? Is it a bad
name? No, it's not bad. No. I was just asking so I can search and find them.
Okay, no, it's coming. But it's S-U-N. So we've heard from Lemon. He said that she should up her game.
Yes, ma'am. Or maybe she go get here now. So I see go the letter and see this sound no go. That kind of thing.
And next up, I would like to talk about Tames. What's your honest opinion about her music? Most people I've met is 50-50.
Did you say Tames?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think her music is all right. I think she has an amazing voice. But her, like, writing, I've always, like, spoke about this, like, I think her writing could be better. Like sometimes I don't understand what she's saying. It seems like freestyle-y, like not a lot of refinements going into like the actual like writing itself, like the songwriting. like the lyrics, I mean, like what she's trying to say sometimes, like sort of all over the place. But I think it sounds nice. So
yeah. Would you say she got better with it with the recent EP?
I don't think so.
Without writing of a thing, though. Because Chris writing, right?
Was the first thing I heard, and I was already like, bro, why?
You don't like crazy things, yeah?
I grew to like it, sort of, like, because it's dancey, it has its groove, and then when the video dropped, I liked the video. But, like, that was, like, after at least hearing it several times. But when I heard it at first, it was, like, I didn't even, like, it was a freestyle, essentially. Like, it was, like, if you follow the lyrics and stuff, it doesn't really lead anywhere. Like, it's just, but sonically, it becomes enjoyable after a while, after you listen over and over.
Does she sound like Fave in any way? Or does Fave sound like...
Oh, mommy, I don't see this. I don't see this.
I've seen this talk on internet since I didn't even give it...
When I heard Fave's EP, I don't think it sounds anything like Thames anymore. I think... I don't hear it again.
You think she sounds better?
I think they sound different. I think Thames has a more powerful voice.
Powerful? What do you mean powerful?
Powerful, like, just like... How do I describe it?
Like,
it's just
like
much more confident.
Like stronger, yeah. Like it commands more presence. Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know about the Fave and Terms comparison. I don't see it.
What do you think about Ira and Thames, like in terms of sound? Like, yes, what did you think when we came?
I would like to talk about this Ira and Thames and Thames. So two of them, sure. I just feel like one is the more exciting artist.
Who is that?
That's Ira Star, babe. She's more exciting. I don't think have you people seen Thames perform before?
Yes, I have.
I've seen her.
It's like videos. She performs like, ah, oh, I can't wait to go home. That kind of pee, like, she's like, give us more energy now. Yeah, people were waiting for her to go hotel to like 2 a.m. and she still gave. That's what I'm saying. That's why there's a more exciting artist to me. Sha, things might have the better voice, so but.
Hey, I don't agree to that, bro.
You don't agree that Thames has a better voice?
Yes.
That's another one for me.
No, I don't agree that Thames has a better voice.
Are you serious?
Than
Ira Star. I think Ira Star is like all round.
Ira Star is a well-rounded vocalist.
He's the most rounded, best artist out of the three that we just discovered.
Yep. Claire, and she's Claire of them. And not to say like other artists don't have their own style.
Yeah, they have they have their trends as well. But when you average everything, I think Ira for me.
Yeah.
Because I've also seen different styles. I think that's also it's like music has done like the very commercial, like she can make like commercial Nigerian music, like Afro pop, like core commercial Afro pop. She can also delve into
ballads,
alternative stuff, and like exactly. So I think she's very versatile.
Yeah, I think she has. I vocally speaking, she has hit like much more audacious notes that I don't see Thames even trying or tackling. Like
I've not talked this thing. I think they go ratio me, but I just
no. Ira clearly, like vocally speaking, like she's as she just came into the scene. I think she's one of the best in the industry. Vocally speaking, in terms of like how she has, how much range she has. If you look at the album, there's some ballads there that, of course, they're not commercial. But if you listen to songs like In Between and that song, like, or even the intro of Sare alone, I keep saying this. I've been saying this time and time again. The intro of Sare, that's like there's certain things that I'm like, nah, not anyone can just cut this and like and make it and execute this to this level. Like And nothing against Thames, like nothing against Fave. Like those are artists that still have their own unique
sound
identity. Like they have their identity as singers. But I think Ira just checks a lot more boxes for me, man. Like just like just well rounded. And again, this is an artist that has a full length album. Ira and mm-hmm. Thames and Fabe haven't given me a full length album to actually like see that I guess range of versatility with them. But with the material that is out right now, I think Ira is clear.
Who they laugh?
I mean, I agree.
You agree?
Yes, I agree, because it's not really easy to drop like an album, like a debut album, and everybody can relate to it. Because on Aya album, to be honest, yeah, when I ask people like, what's your favorite? I get to hear different opinion that, this is my favorite. I think in between is my favorite, because I really like that sound.
I love the one with CK.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, even when I saw the acoustics CK performing, it was really nice. I could really hear vocals, like she's vocally sound. And apart from the fact that people tend to like compare Fave and what's her name? Fave and them Thames, like to Aya. I think last year Aya like outdid both of them. And yeah, I really think she's an amazing artist.
And I remember when Ira was like getting rolled out, it became the overall like talking points when it came to Ira. People were like, oh, is this Thames? That's what everybody was just saying when it came to Ira's like first EP. But I think as soon as the album rolled out, everybody kept quiet about that Thames comparison. I mean, at least it wasn't to the same magnitude, but you could definitely tell that the snippets in the EP, and don't get me wrong, there's certain like points in the song that like you can hear the similarities clearly. Like you can hear that, okay, these like there's a certain like deliveries that or certain registers that she goes with her vocals that you can say, oh yeah, this is definitely like Thames' comfort zone. This is usually where Thames operates, but that was like probably in a snippet of an entire song. Or an entire project that like 14 or 12 tracks now, like you can tell that Ira has way more than just that Thames pocket that she can have occasionally. But like she's more than that when it comes to like her vocals, man. She's way more than the Thames comparison.
Okay, now, and this one is just, it's very, very, it's quite straightforward. So Buju Para or Peru Para?
Buju Para.
Buju Para or Peru Para?
Buju Para.
It has been changed your mind. Talk at me again.
Buju Para. I can't lie to you. But like, I think both of them like have like idols to like play song. For Buju Para, I would say Buju Para was great in terms of Buju's delivery on that particular song, but we all know Etcheran being Etcheran now, and taking the record to like number one in the UK. I don't think Buju can pull that off, so I think
who is the right man is expecting Buju to
if you pull them off?
Put Etcheran
number. Went in next song, that's the town.
Bro, you know, feel so. I just feel, man.
I feel I like Buju Para because of whenever I'm singing the song, say my Buju part at the sing. I can't even remember a chance part, bro. I like Buju Para, shout. Buju had a great year, that 2021 year.
Fact.
He had a great year, but people like talking about future tax. What is that? What is that?
It's basically your features powering you. Or you being able to power features, like help other people out on their songs but like that same energy isn't being seen when you're on your own song alone.
But like, you dropped this EP now, and this EP was like topping for days now.
I don't think I would say the EP did like so well, to be honest. Like maybe as a body of work collectively, but like
for Buju, that EP didn't do well. For Buju, don't look at Buju.
Yeah, I think if you compare it to like what he did for other people's records and stuff, I think there were higher expectations for the EP. Like the EP was, see how Tis Daniel's EP has stayed. He has, you know, a number of big songs. Yeah, for sure.
You didn't want me for yet. For yeah. Guzman, you didn't want me, I swear. This the EP was good, I swear. I can't lie to you.
No, I think he's talking about performance of the EP.
I'm not talking about the music. That's a different conversation.
Okay.
But like, how the EP performed, like compared to like the how someone, like I was having this conversation with someone, and then what he said was, if you remove the EP from the year that Buju had last year, like if Buju didn't drop that EP at all, nothing would be different. Like the EP didn't add anything to the year. Like if you ignore the fact that he dropped an EP entirely, he still had the same year that he had. The EP didn't take it to a higher level. So what's not the point? He probably should not have dropped the EP, like, because he didn't do anything. Like when you are looking back on Buju's run last year, I think the EP is probably the lowest point.
Yeah, I want to tip on something. I guess the title of the EP, sorry, I'm late. There was a time people were saying something that it didn't catch up with Mayoko and someone that dropped EP. I think Omale. That's 2 years ago. That's 2020. I remember people an album. People want to listen to his
collective body of work.
I think that was him dropping a body of work, and I felt like I went for the album listening, but the EP listening. And I could even really like easily vibe to these songs, even the one with the caveman. Do you get? So I think he needed that, and he needed something to fall back on and say, okay, yes, I have done something like this. But I get where you are coming from in regards to Buju's year. Buju's year was I'll put it, his features. Most of the features he was on, he killed them, and most people reference the fact that Buju's year was all about EP, the features, and not his EP. I don't know if you guys get it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that ties to what Dolapo was trying to say. Like the EP, like in comparison to the year that he had, didn't contribute much significantly to the run that he had. And the thing is, I think it was based on the direction the EP went. The EP went for, let me flex my pen, let me have some slow mid-tempo kind of vibes. Not too many songs with like high replay value or songs that have utility that you can actually play at clubs, at functions, at parties, or in your car. These are not songs. Those are songs that you probably like. You have to be in your room and just cross by and just listen to and just vibe. In your own space, but they don't necessarily command like a massive appreciation, like, or just like or that virality to it. It doesn't, no, many of those songs didn't have that. The closest thing to it was Kilometer, and if there's any song that they needed to run on that can carry the run of that EP, it has to be that song. And I see that they have a remix with Zeno lined up very soon. So like I think that's pretty much it for the EP. After the stretch that they can have with Kilometer, I think he'll probably move on quickly from the EP into something else, like a new project or something.
Yeah, he has the Italy song that's popping now. So I think he has largely moved on. I think it's just Kilometer remixed and the video that's left. Like once that drops, that's the end.
Yeah.
The EP just dropped in November or something. Was it November?
The EP dropped, no, December actually. Was it December?
Exactly. So it's like a 1 month. And you're saying the EP did well. Like, I mean, bro.
wait. I said the EP didn't do well.
For him? I don't... No. So, but... like, yeah. No. Like, commercially, yes. Of course, it's Buju. So, like, he has his brand, his name has some weight now in the industry.
And of course,
bound to do some numbers.
When you get to a certain level, there's a level of support you will get from DSP that would make your project or your song do well. Like when you're just numbers, like if you're just looking at the raw charts positions or numbers, the EP would never have done badly, no matter how it turned out. Like because it's good, like it's going to get on all the playlists that matter on all the platforms, and that means it's going to get millions of streams anyway. Whether it's a terrible EP, it's going to get like those streams just because is going to be placed in those places that people are clicking play on. So I don't think in this context you can just judge by just looking at the charts and just say, oh, Buju's EP is still number 5, so it's doing well. I think you have to take more into context.
Okay. So I have a couple of questions for you guys. So this one is, I want to know, from last year, who is your best artist from last year and an artist that didn't live up to your expectations at all? You know what, you just call the two. I don't want to know which
what
one
is the best. Do you mean like
preference?
Personal favorites or performance?
Yes, like how that you perform? Your preference, yes. But you just call the two names. I don't want to know which one is which one.
Okay,
so who's going first? Dolapo, are you here?
I mean, like, for the two artists, you know, Lisky and Thames.
I don't know my guess already.
Okay, so the question is, an artist that was your artist of the year, basically, like, based on preference, right?
Yes, and the and one that didn't live up to your expectations at all.
I didn't live up to my expectations. Yeah. I'm thinking about it. For the one that didn't live up to my expectations for.
No, you're not supposed to tell us.
Because the last one was easy now. Anyway, I would say Ira Star and Burna Boy.
I know that, but no.
This one easy now.
I say very easy. For me, I would say Wiz and I'll say Wiz and Mayoko.
Yoni is just so obvious.
Yeah, that's the way you do it, man. It's going to be obvious.
Yep,
this is obvious.
Me, if I should say my own, and you guys might not get it.
Okay, let me hear.
Mubad and Belash Moda.
Oh, easy now.
I think we still get it.
Yeah, easy now.
Okay, so any projects? Are we looking forward to any projects this year?
I'm going plenty.
I'm hoping we are not getting the David Bowie Whiskey song.
Who said that? I'm hoping.
I think that's cool.
Wait, was that
do you think it's going to bang?
Oh my god, I think
it will be underwhelming.
I feel like it's something that we should just keep. Like something like if it happened, it should never happen. It should not like should if.
Oh, okay. You don't want it to happen.
It's better. Yeah. Life will still be there because if it happens.
Nah, I'm sorry. I've been longing for it, man.
No, I don't want.
I don't know. This is like I've been longing for a Wiz and Davido collab, man. Like
it's underperform.
I know. Trust me, because they've stretched it out for far too long, right?
Mm-hmm.
The expectation is through the fucking roof. Like, of course, it will be underwhelming. But
if you could,
but no, like knowing how their careers have gone, and these are artists that have documented many of our lives. Like they've made soundtracks for our life, and 10 years down the line, like coming up and looking at how, just looking at the journey, like the sentiment around both of them, man. It's just like you want the brotherhood, you want the good relationship. It's nice to see them hug. It's nice, you know.
I must see that hug. If you don't ever hug Chioma like that before.
You can tell like David has always said it. He's a big Wiz fan. He has always loves Wizkid. Like he has always been clear about it. And the fact that they didn't have a song, regardless of all of that, and then so add social media, add all the like there can only be one throne kind of sentiments, then obviously there'll be beef, there'll be some form of competition that spiraled into what it was. But nonetheless, man, I wanted to see a collab from them. But yeah, like I said, it's been stretched for so long that it's probably going to underwhelm us, man.
So if you could pick a producer for this particular collab, who would you pick?
Saz on the beat.
Saz, easy.
Saz on the beat.
Not P Prime.
Saz on the beat.
You know what? P Prime is a good contender for that. I'm lying.
And this other guy, this notebook guy, is good, Shara. Let me see what he's going to do with more love and less ego.
True.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that album is the proper Niger sound. Maybe they want to come back and give us Niger sound.
Yeah, Wiz is like back in Nigeria working in the studio with everybody. Bro. Everybody,
yeah, the council is Canadian tour, so I think it's
great.
Canadian tour is related.
Then Emmanuel, don't bite
it. Yeah, guy, don't bite this guy. I swear. You don't see the trauma.
Oh my God!
When you saw the news, how he take it?
Oh God, guy! This is funny because I knew many guys that were coming that were traveling from other cities to land. They are here. This thing was supposed to happen today and yesterday. People are just here aimlessly.
And now there's no new date.
But anyway, we'll move on. We'll come, Sha.
So in regards to project dropping this year, there's a project I can't wait for it to drop, and that's Rema's project.
I think that's easily the most anticipated album.
Yeah, it's
right. I like the way you done the eye palm like that. If you not drop him this year again, you know.
I guys drop him this year, me will
no
fight.
No,
you sure?
Yeah, that's true, bro. I swear, at the time, if you should release that album, I feel nobody should drop a project during that period, because all of us, I know, will be focused on Rema. It's just as the way we're focused on Reese when he dropped Made in Lagos. I think he's going to have like the same energy. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I feel like it's agenda time for Fire Girls, because that would be the album from Rema. I'm telling you, Fire Girls, anybody that supports Fire Boy is a Fire Girl, both male and female.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Who's nice on
I'm dying, bro.
Yeah, so that's the, I think that's when you are talking with Fire Girls and you're arguing about this who is the next king of the next generation. The only thing that they put above your head is let Rema give us this album. Everything else, Rema looks clear, though. No offense to Fire Girls. We all have our preference. I know we have a couple of Fire Girls in the studio here, but it's all cool. Thank God it's not physical recording.
Goodness, man.
So yeah, that's the missing piece right now.
What about On My Knees then?
Yeah, On My Knees. Oh, there's lots. On My Knees album, I want to see Tem's full length album too, man.
I go sleep before track 4.
Why did you like this guy?
I swear, the last one, I just...
Yeah, the last one was bad.
Make I swear that essence juice go dey inside this thing. I don't see the juice, so... We try.
I think that EP was better than For Broken Nature.
Wait, though. The first one with Try Me, that was the best, though.
No. For Broken Nature didn't have Try Me.
Which one had Try Me?
Try Me was the single. Oh. Yeah.
That's the song that even made me.
It was Damages, the one that has Damages.
Okay. But that crazy things are happening. I can't just get used to it yet.
I think that the thing to note that Kems had like a very good run pre that project. Like an
The
Essence agenda was crazy. Then she now go on Drake's project.
I know you can't wait.
And it was underwhelming. Like, was like perfect setup.
The Drake stuff. Yeah, you said the Drake stuff was underwhelming.
No, I'm saying the EP, like the EP, the whole thing around the EP. Like, if you look at the hype, the way the hype was built up from Essence, the success of Essence, through the Drake feature, and then how as she dropped that EP, like you would expect that. The EP would like be super huge because everything was off, like all the attention on that globally was like super high, but
yeah,
I don't think EP had the music that was going to take her to that level. Like I don't think the quality of the music itself could like hold that much water or could hold people's attentions on the level where it was going to elevate her like that. So it was just like everything was building up, building up, building up, and then EP dropped, and then like everything was just like okay.
The only reason I can say I can agree, I see what you're saying, but I think with what that EP was trying to do, I think it definitely saw her operate in the, I don't know, she kind of caters to the Western side of things, like at least from the record that is doing well now, like Found with Brent Fires.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like, I don't disagree with that, but I'm saying even like in that bucket, right? Like, would you say she broke out into the Western market with the EP?
Not with the EP. I mean, prior to the EP, I think she already broke out into the Western market.
Great point. Right? And like, would you say the numbers and the reception of the EP like showed the?
I'll say like, the reception. I'll say the reception. When you look at the numbers. The reception of Found in R&B conversations, it did well for a Nigerian artist in R&B spaces in the US. Like it was on every like R&B like playlist you could think of.
When you look at like numbers, right? Like on Spotify, it's 18.5 million streams.
Yeah,
it's not.
It's point like, five.
Yeah, but that's 5.
It's not like special.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's not like it's not crazy. Like, it's not SS numbers, it, like, not Found. Yeah, extra
to the US, that's like a very small number. Like Alcohol by Joe Boy is 15.8 million. It's they're almost at par. And like that was not a song with any international feature or any focus on the West or anything. So it's like when you put it in context, it's like it's still not. Compared to the expectations, I think it still falls very, very short. It's like, look at Soundgasm. Soundgasm is 30 million. So, I mean, if you look at Mona Lisa, let me see what Lo J's Mona Lisa is on. When you compare with like the songs that popped out of Nigeria, Mona Lisa is 11 million. When you compare with the songs that popped out of Nigeria last year, it didn't do significantly more numbers than them.
Yeah, I understand that. But I think what you need to bring into context is that this was an R&B tape, right? Especially the song that is carrying the album now is an R&B song. Like, it's an R&B conversation, like contender, right? So I think contextually, like, it's not meant to do a sound guy.
So, like,
I think pairing up with alcohol and
what you said now, there might be a little flaw in that argument, because if you're saying that, if you're saying on one hand that you think that the song broke out or popped off in R&B spaces in the West,
where
do most fine numbers come from? The West, right? Soundgasm is an Afrobeat song. Is Soundgasm big? Is Afrobeat bigger than R&B in America? No. So how is Soundgasm?
Yeah, but we don't know where those streams are all coming from.
What do you mean? Don't we know where those streams are coming from?
No. I'm saying we don't know like the majority
of the cities.
The locations. Like we actually need to be behind their dashboard to know
the top 5 cities for any artist on their just by opening their Spotify. You can see like top 5 cities, I think.
Right. But knowing where one particular song is moving, knowing the region where one particular song is moving,
I think it's to a good extent, like you can fairly estimate that if Rema's biggest city is Amsterdam, for instance, Amsterdam, then Paris, then London, then Rotterdam, then Madrid. So America actually isn't in his top 5 at all for Rema.
Yeah.
So, but my point, my argument is that, like, at the end of the day, Spotify numbers come from the West generally, right? America.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
If you're saying that the reason why we can't compare like that is because some songs are more commercial and they're Afrobeat, you can't just compare against like an R&B song. But my argument would be that from the perspective of someone who's like an American or European, Afrobeat is the one that's the emerging genre, the upcoming genre, not R&B. So
right.
What? Bigger than Afrobeat songs. Like, I mean, there are bigger R&B stars than Afrobeat stars when you look from the Western.
Yeah, of course, of course.
So how does that explain that a song like Soundgasm that you can't even, like, for one, it's not really huge in, like, it was so big in Nigeria, but it wasn't that big in Nigeria, right? And it's not like, even in the US, it's not like there's much hype around Soundgasm. Like, the numbers are just going up. Like, it's not like anything is happening. We're not seeing traction in social media, like, oh, it's being played in this place. Like, there's almost zero, but the song has so many streams. Even Alcohol as well. I've not really seen anything from the West. Like
Yeah. There's not much from the West for Alcohol.
Why are the numbers for Found not like astronomically more than they are? Like, and Spotify is actually, Spotify is the biggest streaming platform in the world. So it's safe to assume that it's likely that the highest streams that that song has is like would be from Spotify. So,
I think
I'm exaggerating how big the song is or how far it went. That's my point, Sha.
I just think when again, this is just looking off of the R&B and now like playlists and I seen all those things like for Brent Fires. Obviously, it's a name like Brent Fires too. So, and he actually performed well on the song. So like those were like the song was implemented in those conversations in those playlists. I've seen podcasters in the West talk about it too. So like it's one of those things that in my head I thought, okay, yeah, this was a song that like that at least it wasn't catering to a Nigerian audience, we know that. So like we now see that Tems is operating in the US scene. I was expecting that any move that she made was to cater to the scene where she's actually popping off. And again, she's an RCA act, so she's operating in that space. And
yeah.
From what you're saying now, like in terms of like, oh, even within the R&B spaces there, she probably is not doing like Chris Brown or Summer Walker numbers, of course, but like she's still like, I don't know, she's still in the early stages, so I'm just giving her, yeah, so she's in the conversation, but then again,
I said that, so we can say that what she was able to do successfully was get herself in the conversation.
In the conversation, yeah, exactly.
Okay, I can agree with that.
Yeah, but then again, Essence and I don't want to drag this matter too much, but Essence and even Drake numbers to comparable to her own solo would obviously trump that like significantly. Yeah. So like the run that she had prior to that obviously was going to like. In a way, set out.
Yeah, I get that. It's similar to Juju situation in a way.
Yeah. Sorry, Kusman.
So, yeah, projects to look out for this year, Ribs and Roses.
Yeah, like Omale.
Album. Burna
2. Burna Boy is dropping another album.
Yeah.
That means the video could drop album with us.
Mr. Izzy is also dropping an album.
Mr. Izzy,
no mind those
games. Mr. Izzy is also dropping an album this year.
I'm not sure what Mr. Izzy like, where Mr. Izzy is musically. Like, I'm not even sure what to say.
His numbers are bad. His boys are racking up numbers. Those boys in his Empower stuff.
Empower, Major Boy.
Omale. I think Omale owns Uganda.
Like when you check many of these countries on Apple Music top 100, and you just see like Nigerian song, Omale, 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 Omale,
Ghana top 10, it's Nigerian song.
Truly ridiculous. Like I see where that's coming from. Like when, and it's not just Ghana. It's like everywhere, bro. Like even Gambia. Like there's someone I know that's Gambian, and sometimes he just shares their top 100 on one group that I'm on, and then you just see Omale, and it's like, what is going on?
No, be our fault. That song was sweet. We go stream. So one last question before we round off. Yeah. Very serious question. You guys should be serious too. Please don't laugh.
No.
Okay. Is Portable an industry plan?
I knew it was about Portable.
Oh God!
I knew the question was about Portable.
How you think no?
Bro, when is that dollar?
Portable is in Kenya right now. They gave me
the shoe. Yeah, I have something to say about Portable.
Nah.
Oh, yeah,
I like
Portable. Is it an industry plant?
Nah.
That's actually a very interesting
guy. No,
to be honest, like, I don't know, man. You see where everything is coming from. He's quite open about it. A lot of it has been Olamide, like, and what's that promoter's name again? Kobagidi.
And a lot of cloud chasing. We won't lie.
Yeah, a lot of...
He said Olamide paid for the Zazu video. Olamide paid
for everything. Like
Olamide has funded his
own things. I don't think they're trying to hide anything. We can tell from how he is and his, you know what I mean? Like, you can tell where he's from. You can tell that even from this recent interview he had with Jabless. You guys go check it out, man. That interview, like, you basically know that, okay, yeah, this guy has been doing music
for a long time.
Yeah. And it was just a case of, like, once you're doing something consistently, you're going to have your moment at some point, right? And
that's what happened. And you feel like everything happened overnight, but it didn't happen overnight.
Yeah, it's not
working things.
Someone had been posting him, like John Blue on IG had been posting him like for a while. Like people that have been following him have followed his journey. Now most of us just don't know because we just got exposed to him recently, but people have actually been following him for a while. Like this is not, none of this is new.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say he's not that, but the question is very interesting actually. The answer is not that straightforward because, on the other hand, and like you can also look at it and see this guy actually has in how many days like he has met everybody in the industry. This guy, like in the beginning, this guy is some dead guy that's a clown, and we like the song because the song is funny and hilarious, and not because the song is good. Like, you know, as far as it was like Zazu, it was like people were just mocking each other with the Zazu thing. And then somehow these guys performing at Wiz show, performing at performed at several shows. I can't remember all the shows.
Yeah, I was still
But the last one, we know where all that's coming from, right?
It's
a trending topic. It's a trending topic.
So that's what I'm saying. You see what he said. What Emmanuel said. So you can't just wake up one morning and start performing at Wiz show.
No, but the only reason why he's in high demand was because his stock was high at that moment. It was a trending topic. This was a viral moment. So naturally, every artist is down for Dirty December. The proximity is like much, much closer for him to see all those acts because he's literally performing on the same stage with them. Yes. So I think that is just natural. Like, I don't think there's...
He has sort of pivoted from being the artist that people just like the song because it was a joke to... That's who is an actual thing. Like, you actually genuinely like the song now. It's the song
Valentine
or something. Because that's
how I think it got on Bubbling Billboard or something.
Are you serious? Placement.
But I don't know if it was Bubbling or Digital Sales or something. Like,
I think what he got on was Thriller's Billboard. I think it was something like that.
Yeah, it was like, something Billboard-y. Yeah.
That stuff that happened at the beginning of him calling out Spokoli and all that stuff, his name was behind the song. That stuff really doesn't, I don't know about that. Does it really matter?
I think it does. I think it does, and that's why they corrected it. I think it does because if you listen to his interview with Jabez, he actually did explain everything. Like, it was Olamide that paid for everything. Like, not as if Spokoli paid.
Yeah.
Like, thing. So,
but that's what I thought too before the interview.
And the stuff was now
Pokoli and Pokoli that actually like carried him on their heads and used their own money. It was actually Olamide all along. Olamide didn't even say like he didn't ask, he funded. And Olamide does. It's very benevolent. Like if this guy did not reveal, if possible did not reveal. Would have thought it was Kobagidi and Pokoli that were actually funding him.
Yep.
So
he doesn't come out.
I think it was necessary for Portable to come out and call them, to be honest. Because if he didn't, his money would have been going to Pokoli now. Like his royalty.
But that's true because the song was on Pokoli's page.
Yes, no.
No, but do we know how the royalties were set up? Or, like, it's possible that it can go, it can be in Bokoli's name, but royalties could still be set up that, like.
Oh, yeah, it's possible, but it's not likely.
Yeah, it's possible.
You said it's not likely.
It's not likely. After the thing like they say, I'm very sure someone.
He knew that there was some foul play. If he was set up that way, he would never have complained now because, like, you can sign split sheets now and automate the platform. That, oh, this person right. goes to
see music people. I don't know which one we split sheets, but like, you guys, stop now. So that's busy. Don't know it's busy.
I think if there was an agreement and there was a, you know, oh, all of us get 30% each or whatever, like you wouldn't have complained now because you would have known and there would have been something to that effect. But the way it was, it seemed like there was no legal. Bokoli just wanted to run in the streets, in my opinion. Like, or maybe this guy won't even think about it. Me, I don't put down for my. Or maybe the idea was that because Bokoli's page had some numbers already based on some songs that he had done.
Yeah. I see that too. But I think the idea of Poco being in front of the song was he kind of linked up the different parties everybody together. I thought that was what it was in terms of like, you know, how like DJ Neptune and what's his name? Like that kind of thing where they, or even DJ Khaled, where they orchestrate these things, put people together.
The reason why that's not the exact same thing here is that when a DJ or A&R or whoever does that, it means they are the entrepreneur behind the song. It means they are the ones that brought all the factors of production together.
Yeah,
not just the artists, but like the funding of the song, the arrangement of the song will come out. And I don't think Poco did all of that.
Yeah, that's Poco, the thing. I thought Poco funded.
Exactly. And if you didn't fund, then it's a person that funds that.
Yeah.
Bro, at the end, if I'm paying the producer, I'm paying for the video, I'm paying for the mixing.
Mm-hmm,
like, it's part of my song. Like, I can say I own the masters to the song if I paid for the music to happen. So I see, like, Portable was like totally right in my opinion to call them out. Because I think if you didn't say anything, like, nobody would have, like, bro, like, if you don't talk, that's your business. Nobody, it was anybody's business.
After that interview, I knew that the real villain was Coke Bagidi. The real villain was actually Coke Bagidi. Because apparently, Portable had communicated to Coke Bagidi that, listen, I don't like how this is all set up. Tell Coco about everything. And the guy did not actually pass the message down to Pokoli. Pokoli in his head was like, oh, everything is cool as it's set up. And he had no idea that this guy was feeling some type of way about it.
Funny that Whiskey spray, like, what do you think about that part? Like, the fact that out of the 3K, only gave Portable 600.
Bro, knowing now that Poco didn't do the funding. Bro, knowing now, because in my head, when you see something like, again, we're speculating off of the information that we knew at the time. Once you see someone's name in front of it, and you know them well that they kind of like orchestrated and brought all the parties together for the record to actually have, and he has a history of doing this already, right? You are really thinking, yeah, this is normal practice for him. Like, this is, he's funding this, he's bringing guys together. His name is going to be in front of the song, and then we'll keep it pushing. That was basically one was the information that was at hand at that time. But now that we're finding out that Olamide was the one that actually invested, or not even, I don't know if it's an investment for him, but in this case, like, he funded everything to make that song happen. Then how then is Poco entitled to so much now? Like, and especially in the case of that risky spray money, like, in that case, I was like, oh yeah, it makes sense to, like, to understand that, oh, let me view some of that funds to actually fund the video. I was thinking some of that risky money was going towards the video itself, or thinking, like, you would think, oh yeah, he's giving him the 600 just to hold weight, but we will still invest in this song and make the song a bigger moment. But no, it looks like the guy just carried that money for pocket, so because like it doesn't make sense. It looks suspicious now for Poco.
Well, at the end of the day, that's how the industry is, man. Everybody's just trying to run everybody else's streets.
Eat or be eating. Okay, now thank you guys for coming on my podcast. Thank you.
Who's my man?
Thank you, Iman
Sounds. Standard.
I think I add sounds for Iman. Thank you, Iman Sounds. He completes.
Right,
well, yeah, now until next time. Thank you, guys.
All right, man.
All right. Pleasure. Thanks for having us, man.
Yeah, cheers, man.
I wanna. I wanna say thank you all for tuning in and listening today. Thank you, I appreciate it so much. Don't forget to subscribe and share the link with a friend. Just take it upon yourself that okay, let me just share this podcast with someone. Yeah, so you can send us voice messages. You can use Anchor and send us voice messages. Tell us who you suspect or who is your own industry plant. I just want to hear your opinions. Yeah. Until next time.